If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's episode of the Oasis podcast is sponsored by Columbia Pins. Head to columbiapins.bigcartel.com and use the code OASISPOD at checkout to get 20% discount. Thanks very much to Columbia Pins for supporting the episode. Now, on with the show.
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Very interesting episode today. This is part two of my discussion with Nick Egan, the music video director. Last episode we did the videos he did with in the Mark One Oasis, Supersonic and Live Forever. And today we're going to be talking about the ones he did in Mark Two Oasis, which is basically all the videos from the Standing on the Shoulder of Giants album, which is really interesting. Some really cool behind the scenes stories and stuff. And so I hope you guys check it out and I hope you guys enjoy it. Not going to focus on the news today because there's too much of it. Liam Gallagher has obviously had a single out, which is called All You're Dreaming Of. And it looks like it's going to go in at like pretty high in the charts as at the time of recording. I think it's looking at going in at like number 12. Which is very exciting, and really great song, really, really like it. But we're going to be talking about that in great detail next episode, because I'm going to be interviewing Chris Elliott, who did the strings, who I've interviewed before about doing the strings on the Why Me, Why Not album. He did the strings and the brass on this one as well. We had a really good in-depth discussion about that, breaking down the song and stuff. So that will be coming up very soon. Plus, this Saturday coming, Saturday the 5th, if you listen to this in relatively quick time, Saturday the 5th is Liam's Down by the River gig. Now, we've just announced today that we're going to be doing a watch-along. So it's myself and Listen Up DJs, who you've heard from Adam from those guys on the podcast before. He did the B-sides episode. Going to be doing a watch-along party. So while you, if you chuck the Liam gig on 8 o'clock UK time on Saturday the 5th, and just check out Twitter basically, because we're going to be there tweeting along as we watch it, and just getting involved, which is going to be really good. And then when the gig is finished, I'm going to be jumping on Zoom and we're going to be doing a sort of a live, like phone-in show, like a post-match analysis type show, and we want to hear from you. So it'd be really good to get loads of different people on and get your thoughts. So if you, as long as you're hearing this before the 5th of December, then get on it. Also, we've had a couple of competitions recently, so let's announce those quickly. The first one was for the At Your Team's Prints print of your choice, and what you had to do for that was tweet At Your Team's Prints and myself with the word scissors, and picking at random, we are going with Matt at M4Tet. So I'll be in touch with you shortly, Matt, and we'll figure out where to get that to and what print you want. So that's congratulations to you. And then the other one is for Columbia Pins. So they were on the first Nick Egan episode, and what we were looking to do there was to tweet at them with the best idea for a iconic moment from a video to make a pin badge. And I had a chat through, and we decided to pick our favourite one. And having had a look at all the different options, the one we went for was Jairzinho, who is at FGF Murray. And Jairzinho's choice was the Do You Know What I Mean video, the guitar and the set, all so iconic. So, yeah, congratulations, Jairzinho. And thank you very much to Columbia Pins for sponsoring this episode as well. You can head to columbiapins.bigcartel.com, where if you enter the code OASISPOD at checkout, you get 20% off whatever you order. They've got some fantastic stuff over there. Brilliant designs, mainly of Oasis stuff, but also other things as well. They've just sent some Maradona designs, having, you know, him having died recently. So if you want to get a pin badge, bags, hoodies, that sort of stuff with these brilliant designs on them, then yeah, make sure you check out columbiapins.bigcartel.com. And they've helped me out with a couple of other bits that will be coming very soon, so watch this space. And also, if you can give them a follow over on the socials at Columbia Pins, and just tell them the Oasis podcast sent you. Thanks very much, Columbia Pins, for sponsoring the episode again. All right, well, that will do it for now. As I say, come back next time for a full breakdown of the All You're Dreaming Of single and the appearance on Jonathan Ross and the other stuff that he's done. But for now, let's go back to this interview with Nick Egan.
£0 note that he signed for me.
Oh wow!
That you put in the that he put in the pot as he was walking past the cutout of the Queen. Remember that in the video?
Yeah, but what it looks like to me, because the chorus is like, is it any wonder why princes and kings are clowns that caper in their sawdust rings? So it's quite an anti-monarchist sentiment. And then as he walks past, it's such a bizarre thing. There's this cardboard cut out of the Queen, but it's like the Sex Pistols Queen. You know, it's not like the Queen as she was in 99. And then he whacks that thing right in her face. It's quite aggressive.
He got the money. He's like giving money to the royal family, but it was a £0 note. and he gave me a copy. He gave me a signed copy of one of those fake notes we did. But yeah, he does. He slaps it. That's an interesting point. I forgot about that. But the psychedelics, you keep going about psychedelia, and I had a different editor at this point, great editor. But let's just say, like, compared to Live Forever, I was a little bit more disappointed with Go Let It Out. I'm looking at it now, though, and I go, okay, the performance stuff is fucking great, and they look great, and Liam and Noel looks great in it, and what's his name who played guitar with them?
Gem.
I loved who?
Gem.
And the drummer, they were a much nicer band. Not that the other guys in the band were. They were very quiet, Bonehead and everyone. But these guys were had a little bit more. Say they had a little bit more say. They were a bit more active and everything. The thing I was disappointed most about was the stage. It wasn't. It was meant to be more like a circus top, you know.
Okay.
And instead, we can finish it. So we just had the frame of it. I was a bit disappointed that we couldn't get that. But the festoon lights on it and everything. It was meant to be like. And of course, it rains. But then I thought, well, okay, we can't hide that. It was meant to be like a big. Here's this big top in the middle of a field, very much like the Beatles, and here all these people are going to start coming to this show from all over, right?
Right.
And then I got my cousin's husband ran that agency called Ugly, the model agency, where they get, so I got those weird kind of characters from that. And then I got the I love this idea of school kids kicking a ball around with their short, their grazed knees and all that, but it's such an English thing, you know. In their school uniforms, their ties all sort of askew and their shorts on and they're kicking the ball around, their shirts are hanging out. And I don't know why I came up with the idea of doing it on the top of the bus, but they're standing on top of the bus and they're Liam standing up there. But I think I love that performance. I do love that performance of Liam on that bus, on standing on the back of that bus, you know, on the things we're driving along. I thought that was great. And I do like some of the performance in it, but there was something just overall about it. But what was interesting about that at that point, the difference between the last job I did with them and this one, was now they were these front page tabloids, so they had security with them, and so the security were like all over, and they found these guys like a quarter of a mile away up in a tree with telescopic lenses.
Wow.
Who were shooting this stuff. And the security went out and got rid of them, and we had to stop filming for a minute because they were intercepting these radio conferences of these photographers going, yeah, we're going. And so it was like some MI5 episodes, you know. It's like here we had to stop shooting while they went and found where these photographers and got them out of a tree, you know. So it was we were at a different level at this point, but. Again, the band were great because they never became like that star. They never went into this big star thing. We at lunchtime, there was a lot of laughing with them because they are really funny. I mean, they are really funny and dry, so dry and just hilarious. there's a lot of laughter on that. I do remember at the end of the shoot, though, all these messengers showing up, like left, right, and centre with these envelopes, handing them to, and it was the drug dealers all showing up at the end of, like, literally when we called rap, these motorbikes would come in and hand envelopes out and shit and kind of disappear off into the night. So I thought that was kind of funny, but there was a really, really, really great spirit on that video. It was a great spirit. I remember it was the end. It was just come out to the end of '99. Around the fireworks night, because right, a lot of fireworks were going on. So I remember that, and it was a good time making that video.
Did you think it was weird that obviously, like, it must have been tough, the fact that they were in the middle of replacing some members, and so Andy Bell hadn't even been hired yet. You've got Gems there, yeah. Noel's playing bass, and Liam's right, playing guitar, which is, I pretty much, other than I think the Songbird video, it's the only time he's ever been playing guitar on something.
He didn't really play guitar.
Yeah.
But let's just say, and there's that great bit in the song where he goes, "Here comes the bass," and then Noel turns around and Noel's one of those people that looks great with any guitar around him. He looked great as a bass guitarist, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I love that bit in the song when it goes like that. But you know what? Liam started to feel like a little bit self-conscious. So it was really a prop, guitar. But I mean, he can play bass notes, but I don't think he didn't play it on the record. Which leads, you know, onto another Sunday Morning Call. We had him on the piano, because he didn't sing on that song, and he didn't sing on another Sunday Morning Call either. So
Where Did It All Go Wrong? Sure.
So that video didn't meet the expectations that I wanted it to be. But I looked at, I actually did look at that video again not too long ago, and it's, you know, we use the 35mm, the widescreen on it, and. And the shots are beautifully set up, and, you know, and even the grey overcast weather, you know, works with it. But it was more the stage that I just wanted it to be a little bit more than it was. And that always leaves a little bit of a hangover from you once you don't get that things perfectly like that. But we did that, you know, we got that sign. I love the sign that we got, you know, the neon sign in it. And that was totally from Roxy Music cover of Stranded. Yeah, well, we were Stranded. But that video really didn't. Like I said, it was a Beatles and Magical Mystery Tour. It was like, take the Beatles, all the Beatles things you've seen, you throw it into the pot and stir it up, and here it comes. But I tried to back off the psychedelic thing a little bit. But Liam really pushed for that. So all that kind of thing, where you stand on the back of the bus and the colours change and all that, that was really Liam's idea.
Yeah.
He wanted it to be all like that. And I didn't really feel like I wanted to make it that retro looking. Between there, I went to Paris with my wife, and Noel said, "Do you want to get?" Because he was going to be in Paris, and we went out for dinner. Me and my wife and Noel went out for dinner to some great restaurant, and he bought us dinner, and we had a really good night with him socially. And that sort of initial awkwardness of working with a group that it sort of seemed to sort of become more of a friendship, because, you know, I usually end up being friends, but when you work and you're stuck in a room with someone for hours, sometimes that can come out of it being their friends, or you hate them. So, you know, we went out in Paris and had dinner, and it was kind of nice, and so this trust was building up, which is why I ended up doing those videos. And then I don't know which came out next, but I think When It All Go Wrong was just for the UK, it wasn't for America.
Yeah.
And so was another of them. But let's just say, can I tell them in sequence of how I felt about them? So basically, another song. I mean, Where Did It All Go Wrong was difficult because Liam wasn't performing, and what did we do with Liam, type of thing.
Sure.
And we gave him, I think we gave him a guitar in that one, right?
No, he's playing the piano in that one again.
And that piano in that one took, yeah, right, okay. So the piano in that one took, and he, and that was kind of funny because we, you know, being English, we knew the whole George Best thing about when the guy said, you know, he's got the Miss World in the room, and then he's got 25 grand, and the guy goes, and where did it all go wrong? And that's kind of like, so we use that, and I use the idea of them in a hotel across the street being interviewed by Japanese, and Noel looking out the window while he's waiting for the other band members, and then he's looking in these windows, and in the windows, you're seeing all these things go on, like Rear Window, that James Hitchcock. Stewart film that Hitchcock did, where he's seeing a couple arguing, and it's quite a nice little story there. And we did it in a pub. It was a pub actually. It was a hotel pub. We shot them doing that performance. I've got to say, I wasn't completely into the song. I did it because I promised I was going to do it, but the song just didn't do it for me particularly.
Sure.
Again, it's one of those videos that look at, and it's definitely not in my top 20.
Right.
But there's something about it. I do like the deep reds in there and the deep blues. I thought that was really nice. But it struggled a little bit to get the concept across because it wasn't the kind of hotel I wanted it to be. It was more like a Victorian pub, and I wanted it to be more like the Dorchester Hotel or something like that, but we couldn't get that. So there's always little things that niggle you that you didn't quite get wrong. But moving from there, the next two videos that I did with them are probably among my favourite videos I've ever done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Another Sunday Morning Call was great fun doing it. I think it's on YouTube. There's a making of that video on YouTube by Italian MTV. They did a thing behind the scenes. If you get to see that, you should find it. You just have to put behind the scenes, another Sunday Morning Call, where I'm in it, talking about it. And what's his name? The actor, James, who they wanted to use him in it. Their PR person, because he was the original person in Trainspotting, the stage version. Irwin Walsh did. He's a friend of Irwin Walsh's, and the band wanted to use him in it. And I thought, okay, let's do. I've never really done a narrative video with a story in it. Never done a narrative video. I like the idea that Noel had come up with about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So that was great. So I love that film. So that's why we decided to put it into a mental asylum, and we found this incredible place in Vancouver. I mean, incredible place. It was like the classic venue if you were to do like a dark Victorian horror story. I mean, but some of it was 70s, and we set up in there, and there was a unit that came down with us, I think this MTV, and they mic'd us all up, and you know, walking around, I had to be careful what we said all day because we were on microphone. And there was this weird shit was going on, like there was these like bangs from upstairs, a proper haunted place. But we got them a pool table, so they played pool. So because I knew there was going to be a lot hanging around because we were doing a narrative, and they weren't really going to be in the video that much.
Sure.
And so my idea was to take the idea of these rebellious, like, people. Like, so you've got a punk in there, you've got a Black Panther, you've got a Hell's Angel. So if you look at each person when they walk into the room, there's a representative of every kind of group of social antagonism in it.
Oh, yeah.
So that, this is this place where Oasis were going to end up being in one day. You know what I mean? Because they were like anti-whatever. So I used that idea. And Jim was, like the lovable criminal that fought like Jack Nicholson is in the movie, who fights the system and doesn't take the pills and tries to get all the... And there's two things in there that I love. I don't know if you've seen Once Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but there's a time they want to watch a baseball game.
Yeah.
And she doesn't let, Nurse Ratched doesn't let them watch the baseball game. So Jack Nicholson starts to commentate as if it's going on.
Yes.
And then nothing happened on TV. Well, I took the idea and I took it one step further, and I did the football.
Yeah.
Without football. And there's one thing in that, and I always said, whoever the guy was, he just made it for me. So they're playing, Jim's sort of trying, the guy that's playing the main character's trying to tee them up. We go, come on, look, there's a ball there. It's really there. Come on, there's a ball. And they did it brilliantly, but the one bit is when he goes and scores the goal, and one guy comes up and puts his foot on an imaginary ball and drags it out of the net. And so that was brilliant. Here's another Sunday morning call. You
hear the banging on the door. Nick Egan, music video director, about to do a Oasis video here in Vancouver.
The song is called Sunday Morning Call. It's about a person who's constantly got the finger on the self-destruct button. But they're not a bad person. It's just, screwed up's not the word. It's, they're more, they've just got a self-destruct mechanism. Someone I know.
Not a clue, mate. I didn't write it, so I don't know. I'm sure it's about, I don't know.
We came to do the first video for Go Let It Out. And we were sort of in the process of picking singles. We sort of said, well, what about if we do a video that's a bit like One for the Cuckoo's Nest?
A lot of actors they sort of look down on pop videos because they think, it's seen there as a lot of sort of commercial sort of, like, adverts and that. It's just to take the money and win sort of thing. But quite often you get some not be bad, pop videos that have actually got a storyline, a song you can sort of follow.
My whole idea for him, really, on this one is to improvise his role.
And there's that great shot where you cut to the band looking out the window, which is when, I can't remember if it was Noel or Lee gives the wanker sign.
Yeah.
That was great. So I kept that in there. And we shot that in Vancouver because it had we wanted it to feel like it was in England, and even though they drove on a different side of the road. But that, and I think that story of it comes across without it dominating. But that was the one that Liam was totally bored. He didn't have anything to do. And if you look at him on that piano, he's not even doing it. He's doing it like the Muppets playing the piano.
Yeah, he's just messing about.
He hated doing it because he said there's no point in me being there. We have to keep persuading him to be there. I think it's one of Noel's finest songs. I think it's one of his finest vocals he does on that. He did make this funny quote in the making of it. He goes, well, I want it to be One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but it's probably going to be something like One Flew Over the Robin's Nest. So it was funny. I mean, he has a very sort of funny, sarcastic sense of humour. And that, again, that, you know what, when he put that video down, I thought, well, that's really funny, Rich, really coming from, considering it was your idea, because it really was his idea, the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest thing. And I think that you really get that, and I really storyboarded that whole video out, and I had to think of a way, because the band would have been happy not to have been in it. They didn't want to be in it, but the record label insisted they were in it, so I had to struggle and keep them in it, and figure a way, so I put them in that padded cell, that big padded cell. And so, you know, whether it would have been worked without them, I don't know. I think it works with them in it. But it's difficult when you're doing a narrative and you've got to try and put the band who don't want to be actors.
Yeah.
There's no interest in being actors. And you've got to try and put them in it somehow. The only thing you can do is have them playing. And how do you make it play in what you're trying to do as a narrative? But I think it works. And I think the guy that played the main character, Jim, I can't remember his other name is now, but he was great in it. You know, he sort of carried it, you know, really. Just because the focus did go on him. And I think his look, that tough Glaswegian look, I thought was great. And I thought he did well. But I love that video. And my editor, and I always forget his name now, it's a London editor, who put the stuff with Winston Churchill at the beginning. You know, and he also put the thing on the beginning of Go Let It Out with the Great Escape, you know, whistle at the beginning. Those are the little moments and touches that make it just a little bit more than just a video. And the whole thing of you know, the raid and Jim jumping out the window, and you know, I really enjoyed doing that. I mean, it's the first thing I've done things with a story in it, but not to follow a specific story like that narrative where he gets put in his place and you know, try to get him to take the pills, but he rebels. It's all based off Noel, really, that was. But I made it a little bit more contemporary with the football and the Hell's Angel and the punk and the Black Panther leader. And yeah, so I tried to make it a little bit more updated than that. And I think and I look at it and I love the look of it. It's got a great look to it. So I'm really, really proud of that video. Yeah, it was funny making it because of, like I said, the whole thing with this mental asylum, and they all went over, some of them went over. I think Noel might have gone over to look at where the electric shock treatment room was. It's disused. It's a fantastic location. It's disused. But honestly, God, we and I'm not a big believer in that kind of stuff, but we heard some really freaky noise going on in there. Like, we'd be in the middle of it and we'd hear this whooshing noise that was going, like it was like some tornado up in the room. And so it all went to build the atmosphere of making that video, because that's what it was. It was a mental home. And I think the band was starting to go mental from being in there. Liam certainly was. You know, sometimes you've got it's a struggle because it's put stress on you when you've got an artist that just doesn't want to be there, and you've got to try and keep getting them to want to be there. It becomes draining on you because you know that person, if they got a chance, would be gone. But it's one of the reasons I've got a pool table and I got them a load of stuff to entertain them, because I knew that this was going to be less about them than it was about the others, so there's going to be a lot hanging around. And of course you get put behind schedule and things get in the way and you've got to do this instead of that, and you've got, but yeah, so Liam certainly made himself heard that he wasn't into doing it. So but you just got to get on with it, really. You know, I got a great response from the band on that, especially Noel, who was really pleased with it, which again is why I think it's so funny that he puts everything down.
Oh, this is shite.
Remember that guy in the video being Scottish? Don't know why I feel that's important to tell you that, but there you go. Nice car. I've got one of those cars in black, a Mark II Jag.
Have you passed your test yet?
Oh, fuck. Didn't stop me buying a fucking car for 110 grand, though. Stuff that's gone before. The fuck are these people? Is that our road crew? Nice jewellery, though. I've blinged up there before it was fashionable. Fucking dreadful.
But the, I think it's not the best video I've done. Certainly, it's one of the top. It is Who Feels Love, because and they just absolutely loved being there, because it was like this. It's Death Valley, and there's nowhere on Earth like Death Valley. It's like another planet. And we use anamorphic lenses, so we use the sort of same lenses they use in Lawrence of Arabia, and that was, and you know, you don't even have to have much of a concept to go to Death Valley. You just point the camera anywhere, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So, again, I had them, you know, like these nomads wandering, and there was a film called Zabriskie Point, directed by Michelangelo Antonioni, Italian director, where he blows up all this stuff, blows up TV, and so the whole blowing up stuff was brilliant to do as well. That came off great. there's no concept in that video. We brought the bus, believe it or not. We didn't bring it from England, but we found a bus. And we wanted to have it as a continuation, we wanted it as a link to go let it out because I know. So they arrive on this bus in this kind of weird place and they walk across this sort of that. And that's what Noel goes on about. He goes on one of the things about this walking. Why do I always have to be walking in video? But there's nothing more powerful than seeing a gang walking towards you. I mean, and I've done it with a lot of bands. You take them out, especially if you take them out of performance because there's not a lot of, but you put a band together, whether it be The Clash or INXS or whoever the fuck it is, Public Enemy, and you've got them walking towards you like a gang, like in The Warriors, that is a strong image. And people loved that shot of them walking. And they've got that walk. They've got that kind of laconic, kind of Mank kind of way of walking, but they're slouched over and they kind of walk in that way and their arms swing backwards and forwards, almost ape-like. But then you put them in that incredible backdrop with those things and you see these five guys walking towards you. That is just magical, you know, isn't it? And it's kind of like, it's almost mythical. Yeah, the band, this band's like this mythical kind of imagery of a band walking towards. So it works. And I was king of doing that. I did that to nearly every band ever, didn't it? Because I knew it worked. I did it with Bon Jovi. I did it with INXS. I did it with Duran Duran. Because there's something romantic about it, right? But then put it in that environment. And then when they're on that silhouette that gets a sand dune, I mean, that is Lawrence of Arabia. I like the fact that I took them as individuals. I mean, I wanted more. I wanted to have these kids that were these rave kids all fucked up. Because apparently, when I did the Alanis Morissette video in Death Valley, the ranger that was with us told us that he came across these naked, like 20 naked people that were all tripping on acid walking through Death Valley. And I wanted it to be, have these all these kids all fucked up that have been to a rave in the middle of the desert. But they didn't like that idea. But we kept the Indian. We were being led by a shaman Indian, and we kept the Indian guy in it. I always remember the funniest thing again. But Liam went up to the Indian guy and he goes, "Hello, chief," and they just cracked me up. I mean, this was like again, it's got that funny sense of humour. I don't think the guy got it, but so I wanted a little bit more than it was in terms of people casting it. So I wanted to get the weirdness of what Death Valley is like, but we didn't use that. But initially, I wanted to do it like that film Grand Prix or the Thomas Crown Affair, the original one with all the split screen stuff.
Yeah.
And then suddenly when I got to it, I thought no. So I said to my editor, I like the idea of wanting to do something that's more as a modern version of that, and he did a brilliant job on that, of those split screens in there, because he did it in a way that had never been seen before, and he put those images together that were so perfect with the colours and everything like that. But again, it was the edit. I mean, the cinematography was absolutely stunning. I mean, it was stunning, and the band were blown away by it too. But here's the funny thing. So I don't know if you've been to America, but if you've been to Death Valley.
No.
I mean, Death Valley, if you ever come, you've got to go there. Okay, so in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Death Valley, they've got two hotels, Stovepipe World Hotel and the Furnace Creek. And the Furnace Creek is like a five-star hotel in the middle of fucking nowhere. But it's beautiful. And the Stovepipe World is just down the street. It's a little bit cheaper. So all the crew were in the Stovepipe World, and me and the band and the producer were in the Furnace Creek Inn, right? And when you go to the Furnace Creek Inn, it's a beautiful hotel, but they have a policy that you can't wear jeans in the restaurant, right? So the Oasis all show up with jeans on, and they wouldn't let them in the restaurant. And despite the fact these jeans they're wearing are probably like 150-pound pairs of jeans, they couldn't get in the restaurant. And I just thought that was so ironic. Here you are in the middle of nowhere, nothing around, can't see anything for miles. Not a building or anything. Just endless desert and mountains and nothing at all, right? And this one hotel, and they want you in the restaurant if you're wearing jeans. I mean, to me, that the irony of that is, it never ceases to amaze me. So they had to go and find some food from somewhere else.
That is ridiculous. That is crazy, isn't it?
It's just crazy. I mean, the band went on and on about it the next day. They couldn't get over it. But they, again, listen, when we made that video, they were in the best of moods I've ever known them. They've never seen anything like it before. And I think they were so happy to be in an environment so alien to what they were used to and so trippy and so kind of psychedelic and so kind of in touch with the earth and all those kind of things, you know, all the kind of things that really helped inspire Noel. So right, it was like, it was kind of magical, and it was a magical shoot. I think we were there for 3 days, and you know, it gets really hot, and then I did this thing with the film where I shot Liam, so he had to sing it double speed. So he had to sing it twice as fast. So when you actually transferred it, it was slowed down. So that whole slow feeling has come from that. So he's actually singing to a track that's double speed. But when it's transferred, it goes to almost like slow motion. So that little touch, when he sings, he looks great. I love those shots of him standing up in that jacket and everything. He is actually singing like in Keystone Cops. But it comes out looking like it's very slowed down. And that went with the whole energy of that video, of like, and it's, you know, the problem it had was it was almost 7 minutes long. But I love that song. I think it's one of their best songs. And I did see that. I saw how much of the video they used when they played live as a back projection. They used it all around on their whatever tour it was. They used the footage from that. And then, yeah, again, I know Max, they loved it. You know, I even got a phone call from Noel saying, fucking incredible, it looks incredible, it looks stunning. And it did, and that was really, to me, I look at that video now, still to this day, and I go, that is a great video, whether I did it or not. It's like, I think it looks, it's great, it suits the song so perfectly. You know, all the backwards kind of stuff in there. So really, I think visually, it looks, it's one of the best videos I've done. Yeah.
Yeah.
That and Duran Duran, you know, and Ordinary World, yeah, have got to be up there between my two favourite videos. So there you go. Thank you for the sun, the one that shines on everyone who feels love. Now there's a million years between my
the one thing I was going to say, I know that Simon Halfen, I think, was around for that, the Who Feels Love shoot as well. Because Simon did all the covers for the Standing on the Shoulder album as well. And so I was wondering if there was any correlation between the two of you, like from the two projects. Because it does feel like sort of the colours of Who Feel Love almost sort of tie in with the blues of the sleeve art from that period. And also there's the playing football on the bus. There's kids playing football on the cover of the Go Let Out single. So I don't know if there was any tie-ins with that, or is that just coincidence?
Well, to me, it's a big coincidence. I know Simon quite well, but I didn't realise he'd done the covers. And he did come to the Supersonic shoot when he was in LA. I had to be filming when he came down, because I've known him for a long time, but I didn't have any conversation with him or anything about the, and I didn't know until you just told me he even did those covers. So but it was a happy coincidence.
Yeah,
really did, I guess.
Well, that's interesting.
You've done your investigation really well. Your research really well. I mean to, and also good call to look at it and bring out the coincidences, because sometimes it's those coincidences that can be coincidences, they can be planned, they can make something really special, because there's obviously a gathering or a collection of minds that work in the same direction.
Yeah.
So it sort of vindicates what you do, I suppose. So, but no, I like Simon, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Wonderful, great stuff.
Well, good luck with everything, and take care, thanks for the chat.
All right, cheers, Nick, speak soon, mate.
Bye.
So there we go. That was Nick Egan. Hope you guys really enjoyed that. He is on Instagram. He is Nick_Egan_4_creativevandal. So very, very catchy. But yeah, if you go and check him out on there, he does post some interesting stuff from the videos he's done. And if you check out my Instagram, I'm putting up on there shortly some of the stuff that Nick has sent me, which is like behind the scenes things. I know I mentioned that last episode, but it didn't go up because it all kind of related to the sort of the newer videos, so these will be going up now this episode is out, so go and check that out. And if you're not following me on Instagram already, then do go and please follow me over there. Alright, that'll do it for today. Thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, and most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly, greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we post stuff early, and we post additional articles and all kinds of stuff like that. So do make sure you check that out. And there might just be a little Christmas treat coming for patrons as well. So if you want to qualify for that, I'd probably sign up pretty sharpish if I was you. Do please follow on Twitter and Facebook at Oasis Podcast, and on Instagram at Oasis Pod. And if you want to be ready for the Trainspotting podcast, which is coming soon, then do follow at Choose Life Pod. Already recorded a few episodes of that, and I think that's going to be really, really good. And as Christmas is coming, why don't you treat yourself or the Oasis fan in your life with the book, with some might say the definitive history of Oasis, written by our friend Richard Bowes, the official book of the Oasis podcast. So yeah, make sure you get hold of that, because it's a great book and perfect Christmas present for any Oasis fan. And if your wife or your partner's not an Oasis fan, you can just buy it for them and then nick it yourself anyway. It works either way. All good. Right. That will do it for today. Thanks again. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Fucking dreadful.